Hey everyone, this is Ben from The Gorge with Ben and Sarah, and you're listening to the BS Podcast Network. This is The Gorge. It's a podcast where my friend Sarah and I gorge ourselves on overanalyzing a topic.
The Gorge is brought to you by Patreon. That's patreon.com/The Gorge, where for just $5 a month you gain access to not one, but two podcasts. That's hell you're walking into. A monthly podcast where Ben reaches into the depth of Chaldea's network to try and figure out what the hell is going on in the Nasuverse. And, Takeout, a monthly commentary track where I am occasionally distracted by my dogs making sounds in the background and where we watch movies and talk over them. If you think that sounds like a good time, and personally I do, head on over to patreon.com/thegorge and kick in however much you want. We appreciate every single dollar, truly.
We just got done doing Transformers The Last Night, the Michael Bay movie so bad it tanked the franchise. So, if that sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was one of the worst movie-going experiences ever had. So if you want to hear us suffer, just kick in a few bucks and get that. Special thanks to Red Lantern Reviews, Holy Star 64, Neon Hellcat, Patrick Perez, Roddy One Half, Hasatobi 27, Saturn, Alice Marks, Shia Magus, Aquamancer, Jack, Liam Lane, and that other one dude.
Thank you all, we love you.
So Sarah, what are we talking about this week?
We're done talking about Transformers, unfortunately, but we're still talking about cartoons.
We're not done with talking about Transformers, we're done for now.
Well, okay, excuse me, we're done talking about Transformers. For now, but we are still talking about cartoons, because, based off of 80s franchises, now that I think about it, because we're talking about Castlevania, Season 4, we finally watched it all, and decided to, sure, let's talk about it, because you know what, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good, so.
It was pretty shockingly good, considering, Season 3, so.
So for those of you who haven't watched it already, Castlevania Season 4 is a series on Netflix featuring the characters from Castlevania Season 1 through 3, but this time they get sucked into a portal and end up in a series that's good.
They end up in a show that's as good as the second season of Castlevania, the anime, on Netflix. It's stunning. It really is. Like, you ever see that one meme of, like, the horse that is slowly drawn worse?
Yes!
And it's like the progression of seasons. Castlevania is like that, but like only like the one middle chunk of the horse is really like drawn poorly and the rest of it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
What a quality leap from season to like from the third season. The third season, the more I thought, I think we were pretty fair to it like when we talked mm-hmm. about it on the show, but like the more I thought about it, the more it, I was like, I think I fucking hate season 3.
It's really funny that we're doing this while I'm replaying the Mass Effect trilogy. Because it really did go, well, you know, all in all, I thought season 3 was pretty good. And then you watch season 4 and you're like, wait, season 3 is bad.
Wait a second. Season 3 might suck. Hold on. Was I tricked?
I was bamboozled.
I've been speckledorfed. It's just, you know, I got fooled, and then it turns out that no, I don't like season 3 of Castlevania at all, except for the parts with Isaac.
Season 4 is what season 3 pretended it was.
Yeah, it does a lot of the same kind of stuff, but better.
It breaks up the story into four narratives,
sure.
And then, you know, they all do various things, and it jumps between them here and there, or whatever, and they're all kind of on their own. But then it converges, you know, like a story.
Usually when you do the thing where you're like, it's not an anthology series, and you're just doing, like, multiple stories in a series, normally the play is to make them converge and like make them form some sort of, like, I don't know, cohesion, like you expect out of a story being told. And then season three was just like, nope, none of these are connected. What?
No, huh? It just doesn't. What?
Okay.
No.
That's fine.
Everyone just is miserable.
Everybody is
except
miserable.
Except for Isaac.
Yeah, which continues the trend in this one, however. I love it. The show is mostly, like, everybody is struggling to, like, kind of find their place in the world. Except for Isaac, who's doing great all the time.
So, it's really, one of the things that really stood out to me, like, when I got, like, two episodes into season four. Mm-hmm. If I could sum up season four in, like, a single, like, sentence, like, its overall theme, it would be, never mind. Because, like, literally every, like, post-season, like, cliffhanger, like bait, mm-hmm. just gets resolved by the characters losing interest in the thing they, like, declared they were gonna do.
I feel like, so that is kind of my single... If I have a single complaint about Castlevania Season 4, is that I actually think it needed, like, two more episodes. Because, like in the beginning, it needed two more episodes. Because, like, where we start... Like, we ended with things in a pretty dire situation for poor Hector, right? Mm-hmm. Like, poor Hector was having a real bad time, and it did not seem like it was going to get better. And then it did just kind of get better. Season four and he's just kind of doing fine. Like, living with Lenore.
So once we talked about in season four how, like, the four vampire queens are all dirt stupid.
Yeah.
That didn't go away.
No, that didn't stop. Like, they're still really stupid. They don't have any good plans.
And, like, they're like, we tricked him to putting this ring on, so now we can control him. And then they just don't really control him?
They don't make him do anything, and he just kind of hangs out. Like, he literally just kind of hangs out as, like, Lenore's, like, fuckboy boyfriend, which is, like, fine.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, but season three ended with, like, Lenore being like, haha, I don't actually care about you and I'm just manipulating you this whole time.
Right.
Were you surprised? No one else was.
Because you're dumb, Hector. And then season four just kicks off and they're just, like, hanging out. You know? Like, smoking weed, talking shit about Carmilla. Like,
Hector really is just that dirtbag because, like, Carmilla has a conversation with him where she basically says, like, so is your boyfriend ever going to get a job? And she's like, he's working through some stuff right now.
he's working on things, okay?
He's got irons in the fire, literally.
Shut up, I hate you. You're stupid fucking jokes. But yeah,
and you also think about, like, see, how did season three end for Alucard, right? He's like, I'm gonna start hanging corpses in front of my door, and I'm gonna become the new Dracula, just like dear old dad.
Right.
And then it opens with him, like, having, like, three or four more corpses.
Yeah.
And then just walking outside and pissing on one of them, talking about,
like,
how he needs to drink more water.
He needs to drink more water. And he's like, oh god, oh no, I've become a train wreck. Like... That is, like, my sole complaint about... But, like, on the other hand, I hated season three.
Yeah.
So, I kind of don't mind them getting rid of all the shit in season three.
Like, heck, like, Isaac left with, like, I'm gonna fucking kill everyone in the world. And then it opens with him being like, never mind, actually.
You know what?
I was in a bad place.
This vengeance shit sucks.
This is a lot of work. Never mind.
Oh god. There's, like, so much work. There's so many dead bodies. I have to resurrect so many of you.
And then Trevor and Sypha ended with, like, Sypha losing all hope and, like, humanity and, like, the value of people. Mm-hmm. And then she's just like, nah, actually, we should probably still save a bunch of people and do the right thing all the time.
We should help people. And help these people get their shit together in, like, this awful town. And no, I'm not going to give up on trying to do the right thing. So it's like, oh yeah.
So okay. it's really just like everyone just basically needed to like eat or sleep or drink some water.
That's literally it. Anytime you like find yourself laying around being like, why do I feel so lousy? I hate the world. People suck. Everything's bad. And I wish I was dead. And then you sit there for a second and you're like, have I eaten in 12 hours? And then you realize you haven't, and then you go have a piece of pizza, and you're like, oh, never mind, everything's fine.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
It's like,
that's it.
It's like 3 hours after Trevor and Sypha left the town in season 3, she's like, I'm sorry, I just had a really bad headache. I'm okay now.
I'm fine now, this is fine. And so, like, yeah. I think in an ideal world we would have had maybe 2 episodes to kind of create
to like bridge that gap,
sort of some kind of like connective tissue between seasons 3 and 4 to like kind of show how maybe they're kind of getting to that point. But like also like all the shit in Stereo was dumb as dog shit, so I don't care that it's not very like relevant. And then, like, everything else is like, you know what? This is fine. The whole thing with the twins and Alucard, that was stupid, so, like...
It really feels like... You know how, like, Capcom in the Ace Attorney series, like, they acknowledge that Apollo Justice existed,
mm-hmm.
but... they never directly reference anything that happened to it besides the fact that Apollo and Trucy are characters now.
Yeah, it's like that.
That's what they did with season 3.
Yeah, it's like it's that but good with Castlevania, 100%.
Yeah,
like,
they're just like, yeah, season 3 happened, but the characters are over it now.
They got over it, and you know what? We're trying to do something different. I don't know. So, to kick things off, I thought it was not written by Warren Ellis. Warren Ellis turned out to be a huge creep, surprising basically no one, all things considered. Mm-hmm. But he had by this point already written season 4.
So I'm pretty sure, because like the opening sequence is like written, directed, produced, whatever, by Warren Ellis. Mm-hmm. I almost said Orson Welles. No, that would be weird, wouldn't it?
That would be from beyond the grave. Before
it would
he died,
be awesome, but
he wrote a treatment for a Castlevania shear. So okay.
But like then it's like edited by someone else, right?
Well, the role says that it was produced and written by Warren Ellis, but it's directed by Sam Dietz is the guy.
That's
all
it.
The,
yeah.
The writer for every episode is credited always as Ellis. The director is always as Dietz. And I just wonder, like, how much control Dietz had. I mean, at that point, was Ellis just totally out, and they were just using his scripts?
That's what it feels like, because we talked about with season 3, how season 3 felt very directionless,
mm-hmm.
because it kept jumping around, and eventually hit a point where the characters, like, ran into a plot hole and acknowledged the plot hole.
Right.
And then, so it's like, it feels like the direction is so much better in season 4 that I wonder, like, if that really did make that much of a difference.
Yeah, I do know, I kind of talked about it a little bit in our Discord server, but, like, ghostwriters are a thing. Like, uncredited writers are just mm-hmm. a thing in Hollywood and just in, you know, American productions in general. You pay somebody and they come in, they don't get a credit, and they just kind of do a secondary pass of your script, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I almost wonder after Ellis got Me Too'd if they didn't call in a ghostwriter and be like, hey, can you, you know, look this over?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how far into production with season 4 they were when that happened.
I mean, there was a lot. There were a lot less references to bestiality in season 4.
Yeah, there's a lot less references just fucking in general in season 4.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, they really might have brought somebody in. I mean, Dietz himself could have had more directorial control to decide, like, no, we're just not going to do that. They just threw out, like, all the nihilistic shit or whatever. I mean, I have no idea. But it definitely feels, it just does not feel at all like anything Warren Ellis has ever written. And I am still a fan of Transmetropolitan, all things considered.
I recently reread it, like, in between watching seasons, and I'm like, wow, Ellis's dialogue has not evolved at all.
Not a bit.
It's exactly the same. Every character in Transmet talks exactly the same as a Castlevania
every character in Castlevania. 100%. Written the exact same way, and it just works way better in Transmet, because it's extremely crude and disgusting. Even just like the general tone, like there's still a lot of gore and there's still a lot of like civilians getting mauled and stuff in this, but even like the tone toward that is so much more different in season 4 versus all the other seasons.
It's
wild.
In the first episode, there's that montage of like Trevor and Sypha like fighting Castlevania enemies, which is like, even if I've never played a Castlevania like game, like I can recognize, oh, that's one of the enemies you fight in the game.
The whole show is packed to the fucking gills with Castlevania enemies. Like a bunch of the stuff at the end of the show are also just straight up Castlevania boss monsters.
Yeah.
It owns.
But, like, in that thing, like, I was actually surprised because there's that bit where, like, the cultists are, like, trying to sacrifice children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, Trevor and Sypha saved them.
They did not, the kids did not actually get got, which I was expecting.
Yeah. I was super expecting the children to be dead by the time they jumped in.
Yeah, or the bit where they save like the random villagers when they're trying to sacrifice them to bring back Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
They save all those guys too.
Which does lead to that great scene where they're like, would you do that? And the guys all just like shake their head.
No, why would anybody do that? Yeah, it's like a total different tone. I mean, you know, again, Ellis is like an extremely nihilistic person. Mm-hmm. With a very dim view of people in general. Go read Transmit, it still holds up. But like, even like the general like portrayal of just like the unwashed masses is a lot less unkind in this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like they're not just portrayed as just drunk and disgusting and stupid. It's more like, you know, the whole thing, like part of Sypha's whole deal in this season when they're in Targovishta is about how like, well, this just happens because there's no community organizing going on. Like there's no sense of somebody trying to help these people like get their lives put back together after a traumatic event.
They don't have like the willpower to like actually try to work together.
Yeah, like, you know, that's like the thing she even says. She's super specific in saying that like a bad thing happened to all of these people and they literally don't know where to start. So they have to have somebody from the outside come in and help them put their lives back together because they don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and it's never like any blame placed on like the stupid ignorant like common folk who aren't like our big fucking heroes, you know, like which is like a thing you see in season 1 a lot. Where like if you're not a big fucking hero, then you're just dumb and disgusting and you fuck goats, blah blah blah, you know. And instead it's like, well, no, there's like, you know, we're supposed to be heroes, we're supposed to be helping these people like put their lives back together. As like, yeah, no, this was not written by Warren Ellis, y'all. The credits say so. The credits are lying to you.
There were some overhauls done.
Some severe rewrites at the end of this because they were like, you know what? Fuck this. Let's end this on a happy note. Mm-hmm. I think part of it is also that I don't think going into the production of this show, anyone expected people to become as attached to the main trio as they did?
Yeah, I feel that, especially because this show is so unlike the games. It drew in a whole new audience who don't, like, have to be part of that pre-existing community.
Right. And I don't think anybody who was making this expected anybody to be like this. I mean, obviously you want your fans to be emotionally invested in your main characters, but I don't think anybody expected going into this anyone to be so invested in like the well-being of the relationship between Alucard, Sypha, and Trevor. And so, like, when this started out, it was like, well, these can just be kind of nihilistic heroes who become more nihilistic as the story progresses. And then you go on Twitter, and it's like, we will burn down the Netflix office if anything bad happens to these three characters. So, you know, maybe somebody should go back to the drawing board and write it better. Which I get a distinct feeling is what happened.
Yeah,
but again, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, have you ever felt rewrites harder than season 4 of Castlevania?
I know, right? There was a timeline for how this story was going to go down, and then season 3 happened, and everybody was really mad, and they went, sorry, oh god, we'll fix it, stop being so mad at us, oh god. And it owns, I love it.
It's great, it is, it's really great and refreshing to, like, feel like we're, like, allowed to care about them again, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. They do a good job. I really liked season 2 a lot. And season 2 is kind of just like, I mean, it's a bunch of people standing around and talking, but because you care about these people standing around and talking, like, it's fun. You enjoy it. Like, you're having a good time. Meanwhile, season 3 is a lot more action, but it's just so bleak and you just don't care. And it's like, no, I want to go back to what season 2 felt like, but with, like, all the cool action stuff.
Boy, and boy, they really took the this show is just people standing in a room talking to heart, because there's, like, a good fight in, like, every episode.
There's so many good fights in this show, and, yeah, it's crazy. I was joking when I saw the first trailer. I was joking, like, honestly, If the show is nothing but fight scenes and the main three characters survive, it's going to be a 10 out of 10 from me. And that's exactly what fucking happened.
That's what you ended up... So, like, did you also have the thing where, like, the first episode where it's the montage of Trevor and Sypha?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, did you also think, like, all right, this is it. This is the fight scene until the last episode.
Yes, I did. I had that, like, exact... I was like, oh, okay. Well, because I'd seen the trailer, and I knew that there was going to be the big berserk monster. Mm-hmm. And I was like... Well, by the way, put a pin in that. 2 seconds. Yeah. But I was like, okay, so there's going to be, like... There's going to be this fight. There's going to be the berserk monster fight. There's going to be one more fight at the end of the show, you know?
Yeah, and that's going to... And then it's just going to be talking in a room.
It's gonna be people standing around talking for the rest of it. Which is,
it's gonna be 6 episodes of Carmilla talking about map designs and
how much she hates men, and we get a little bit of that.
And Striga and Morana, like, going like, I don't know, guys. And then that's gonna be the series. And then at the end, Dracula is gonna come back, and then they're gonna fight Dracula, and it'll be the end.
Yeah, and then maybe one of them will die. The end.
Yeah, that's going to be the end of the season. But then, no, actually, it turned out completely different and good, because there was a lot of fighting.
There's a lot of fighting and a lot of characters doing, like, cool, like, specific stuff to, like, the way they fight, and then, you know, people being, like, cool and clever, like, in fights, and a lot of really dynamic character, like, camera moves and stuff.
And, like, being proactive in taking actions, like... It wasn't just a Trevor and Sypha, like, going to a place and then being like, oh, that's a weird thing. I wonder what that could mean. Let's go investigate for a little bit and then think about it. It's like, what if we went...
Nothing will happen.
what if we did things instead? Like,
what if
she
actually set out to do good instead?
She actually, like, Siphon, like, straight up says, like, boy, in season 3, we really dropped the ball. Let's let's not do that this time and do something before a bad thing happens.
They literally, like, looked directly into the camera and were like, boy, it sucked how we just didn't do anything in all of season 3, huh? Let's not do that again. Like,
aren't we the main characters? We should probably be involved in the plot.
Maybe we should do some. And it's actually funny because they still, like, you still can kind of feel like the trappings imposed on them in season 3, kind of like pushing on them a little still, because, like, really poor Trevor and Saifa are still, like, kind of stuck in a plot cul-de-sac until the last 3 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, at least the plot cul-de-sac is Targovishta, you know,
yes,
where the whole thing kind of all began.
Right, yeah.
And not, like, a town.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, okay, our story is basically set in 3 places. It's either in the castle in Styria, it's in Targovishta, or it's at the fucking castle! You know? The one that the show is named for?
The titular Castlevania?
The Castlevania is in the show.
The Bloodstained?
Yeah, it's fine. Like, thank God, you did it. But it is still funny, like, literally until the last 3 episodes, they're kind of off doing their own thing. And then they just get, and it's just like, you know what, fuck it. Just portal them to Alucard.
Yeah,
who cares?
Then they fall in a portal and wind up next to Alucard.
It's like, oh good, true love carried them there. It's perfect. I don't care. I don't care at that point. At that point, I was just so happy to have them. And I knew it was coming. As soon as they showed the mirror, I was like, oh, okay, here we go. And I was still, like, squealing like a little happy girl whenever they stepped out of the mirror and they were literally right next to Alucard. And it was like, that's it. That's all I've been asking for.
It's that fucking SpongeBob thing. Yeah. It's what we've wanted all along.
That's it. And you know what? It doesn't have to be smart. You can just say they stepped through a portal and they're next to Alucard. And now they're all gonna fight with each other again.
It's magic.
Great.
That's magic. All you need.
We don't have to explain shit.
But it also does help that, like, the journey to get there was entertaining and had a lot of good moments and quality writing.
And had, like, character stuff going on. Again, I think the whole, like, emphasis from Saifa and Isaac are, like, the standout characters in this show, which is incredible because I like a lot of the characters in this show. But, like, Isaac is incredible. Isaac belongs in a different show. Like, Isaac
really
is.
Does.
I really like Castlevania, and I think Isaac is too good for Castlevania. Like, as a character, I'm just like, where did you come from?
If every other season were as good as 4, I would say you're wrong. But it's not, so therefore, yes, Isaac does not belong in the show.
He's just, like, from the word go. Shows up in season 2, has so much, like, complicated shit going on, and just keeps, like, trying to find, like, his place in the world, and, like, his whole, what he wants to get out of being alive, despite the fact that he has very complicated feelings about the fact that he is still alive. You know, like, we established that all the way back in season 2, he doesn't necessarily believe he should be. He just kind of exists to serve Dracula. And then, like, literally his last line in the show is that he's going to live, and it's like, oh wow, we've just done the most beautiful, like, the most beautiful little character arc in a show about what a vampire said fuck. And, like, I love it. It's so good and so, like, thoughtful, like, way too thoughtful. Like,
who actually wrote this season? Like, for real.
For real. If you're out there and you are somehow listening to our little podcast, like, get in touch with us. We will not tell the internet your name, but I need to know if there was a ghostwriter.
I really...
like, because it's just too different. I'm sorry.
The thing that really impresses, like, that really stood out to me was after this season, compared to end of season 3, I saw so many artists and animators being like, I storyboarded this scene, or I drew this clip.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see that for season 3.
That's because there wasn't a lot of animation in season 3.
True.
There's a lot of characters just standing around and talking. This show has a lot of... this show is basically just like a bunch of animators' new portfolio work. Just being like, I boarded this part of season 4. Some of it is extremely solid work. Some of it's a little iffy. Some of the compositing, like specifically the Striga in her day armor fight is like cool, but the compositing is pretty rough.
It's it's got the war cutscene from Tales of the Abyss problem.
It does.
Where it's like, I get what you're going for.
Sure.
But you didn't get it.
The weirdness of, like, the camera motion is really bizarre. Like, you lose the thread a lot in that sequence. Just kind of the through line of action feels really murky and the actual compositing, and when I say compositing, I mean like a lot of this stuff is 2D characters on 3D backgrounds that have been drawn on top of. I mean, like that's fine. I don't have a problem with that because it helps speed animation along. It's a big thing that Ufotable does, the Fate Stay Night and Demon Slayer people. They utilize a lot of CG compositions in order to speed their work up a lot. But you can run into the problem where the drawings don't quite match the perspective of the 3D background.
And the scale is off too
just
long
enough
for it to be an exaggeration.
Yeah, and there's a lot
like
of that
motion
going on in that fight. There's a lot of that going on in that fight. And along with the fact that, like, I like you, Castlevania Season 4, but that's what the person in the day armor is for? Like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, cool, this is a Dark Souls boss that, like, the main characters are gonna fight. You know, this is Artorias from Dark Souls.
Yeah.
You literally put guts in your anime.
This is someone's a fan of Dark Souls and someone's a fan of Berserk on
that's
this
it
team.
she does the Artorias pose, which
she
is also
straight
the
up
pose.
Like shouldering the sword with one hand and like using its weight to carry your momentum forward is like
it's a Dark Souls boss move, like 100%.
And her armor design is like this is just fucking Berserk.
Explicitly the Berserk armor. Yeah, the black armor. And it's like, oh, that looks really cool, and it's just being used to, like, kick the shit out of some farmers?
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay. Well, I guess you guys have got to figure out a way to get these two out of the story somehow.
Which
useless-ass characters, they had to find a way to boot out of this story.
So I wrote, like, a ton of notes for this, and I want to get everything out on the Styria side of things, because that gets resolved fairly quickly, doesn't it?
Thank God.
First off, I do really love, like, the dawning realization that Carmilla is insane and an idiot and doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah! Oh, like, I'm so glad.
Lenore's bit in season 4 is to just kind of stare awkwardly in fear.
Yeah.
At Carmilla being insane.
Yeah, Carmilla, that is also why I'm slightly like, boy, we really needed two extra episodes at the front end of this show, baby, because like we needed more connective tissue of Carmilla going insane as well, because like she's crazy throughout the whole show, but like fun cartoon villain crazy and not just like cracking up crazy. And we needed just like one or two more scenes of her like really losing it. You know what I mean?
Like talking to herself.
Yeah, or just acting like extremely like paranoid or mm-hmm. you know, something like that to kind of push that this is like this all of the burden of trying to like expand their territory is really making her insane. Because as it is, like, we start this season with like Lenore and Hector are cool, and Carmilla has lost her mind. It's like, okay.
She's like, so hey, Carmilla, love the plan. Good idea. We're going to fence in these areas. I'm loving it. Great. What next? And she's like, I'm going to take everything. And Lenore's like, didn't answer my question.
That is not the same thing as what next, actually. That's just you saying that you want to, if I'm reading this right, and she kind of like flips through her notes, take over the world? The entire world?
All of it. All of it?
The whole thing? Really? Are you sure?
You know we can't go outside for like 12 to 16 hours of a day, right?
Yeah, so this is not a very well considered plan, and so but like at the same time, when Carmilla is like really on her game being like crazy in this show, she's so good.
No, it's like the amazing, so
insane.
So the amazing thing about this, and again, this is the difference between like what an obvious change on the writing staff can do. Mm-hmm. In season 4, it was almost laughable how dumb Carmilla was, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In season 4, it's super compelling.
Yeah, yeah. You mean in season 3, it's funny how...
Yeah, season 4, it's super compelling. Season 3, it's laughable at how, like, dumb she is acting.
Yeah, no, it's really compelling. You can just tell that she's just kind of motivated by, like, this mania of wanting revenge on the whole world. And that's like why I wish we had like a little bit more at the front. Mm-hmm. Just to have more of it, basically. Cause like, yeah, she's great. She's crazy. She has no idea what the fuck she is doing.
So what I would have wanted is I would have wanted like one more episode specifically mm-hmm. to fill out Isaac and Carmilla. Because I do think it's hilarious that Alucard and Trevor and Sypha just give up immediately. It's totally within character for Alucard to go, oh, never mind, that's a dumb idea, I'm just gonna sit around.
No.
I actually don't want to do that.
I had a really bad night, and now I'm feeling really embarrassed that I hung these bodies out in front of my house.
It's like, do I take them down? No, that'll be even more embarrassing.
Yeah, you know. But we did need at least a little bit more for the two highly motivated characters. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit more. But like, you know, at the same time as well, I was having such a good time. I was along for the ride.
Right.
So when it's written well and you're just kind of having a good time watching it, you're able to kind of just go, okay, show, I'm paying attention. I'm following along. Sure, go for it. Wow me.
It gives you enough to, like, fill in the gaps anyway.
Sure.
Like, you can still see the progress. I would have enjoyed seeing it, mm-hmm. but I can put that puzzle together myself.
Sure. I kind of get, like, the urge to just... Especially considering how much of a clusterfuck season 3 was, I understand the urge to just throw it all out and be like, you know what? We're not even going to interact with it. We're not even going to engage with what happened in season 3. Where if it had been written a little bit more tightly in some way, I don't know how. I don't know how they could have done it. But
the answer is you cut out basically all of Alucard's entire story. Mm-hmm. And fill that in with Styria and Isaac stuff.
Right. I mean, yeah, or just, you know, I don't know. there's some version of season four where you could just say, oh, you can just skip season three. But, like, the way the show is written now, you actually do. A friend of mine was asking me about season four, and they hadn't watched since season two. And they were like, can I just skip three? I'm like, no, I'm sorry, you actually can't. It's still super important.
Mm-hmm. All the characters end up in very different locations in season three.
Yeah,
it's just not very good.
It's just not very good, but you do need to know. You do need to know how they got there for four to make any sense. Unfortunately, but oh god, there's so much.
But no, it is. But just to get back to the original point, like, I think it's great that the part, like, the whole crux of the Styria story arc is actually Carmilla's plan is bad, and we didn't realize it at first, but yeah, this sucks.
This actually sucks. She doesn't know, like, what she's doing,
it's just Striga and Morana sitting around a tent being like, we're just gonna have to keep doing this, aren't we?
You're gonna have to just keep doing this forever. Riding around forever, fighting fucking farmers on horseback.
We're gonna be putting out fires forever.
Fires that Carmilla started. She's like a toddler with some matches and a gas-soaked rag just running around, lighting things on fire. And the other two have got to put them out. They don't want to.
And then just Lenore just off to the side, like, staring helplessly in confusion.
Being like, just what? Like, what? How what did happened? This happen? When what? Did this go so wrong?
Did I miss a meeting? What the fuck? Like, there's the bit where, like, Isaac traps her in this little magic prison cell.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she's just like, what is happening? How did I lose control so quickly?
What the fuck is going on? Oh, man, it rules. It owns.
Also, could Isaac have just cut off his finger this entire time?
Hector, you mean?
Or Hector, yeah.
Yes, I actually do think it's really funny that, like, the answer was that simple. You can just cut your finger off.
Like, and I mean he does specifically ask for Isaac's knife, so maybe it is, like, a magic thing.
Maybe. I guess but that, like, makes sense, because it's a Forge Master knife.
Yeah, but it's just like, oh, you could have just done that, huh, bud?
I guess, but I mean, I guess it's like, if he had done that, then, like, if Carmilla hadn't been as distracted as she is in season four, she probably just would have, like, shown up and immediately eaten him alive.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you do need the distraction of video game monsters attacking a castle.
Of Isaac's, like, big dick rampage.
Isaac's big just, dick rampage.
Just like, I'll solve this problem.
Just as, like, a side note, because I think it's really funny, somebody pointed it out to me. You know the big winged, like, the big blue winged monster that kind of looks like a person that mm-hmm. hangs around Isaac the most?
Mm-hmm.
100% designed by somebody who wants to fuck monsters.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, I want to say this because this is important. This is an important part of my viewing experience.
Okay.
We're watching the bit where Isaac is just tearing apart the castle, right?
Uh-huh.
And he gets up to fight Carmilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing their duel thing. And Melissa, my wife, is the one who goes, oh my god, he has a stand.
He does have a stand. And that stand is like...
It's hot? Bad Out of Hell, by the way, is the name of the stand. Bad Out of Hell.
Oh,
by Meatloaf.
Shut up. I hate you. God
damn it.
You're right, though. I mean, you're right. Yeah, of course.
But, like, it is just a stand.
It looks really cool, and it helps Isaac fight things.
And it just, like, pops in behind him and, like, mimics his motions.
Yeah, 200% designed by somebody who's really sleazy for monsters, which, mm-hmm. like, whoever you are out there, good on you. You got paid
It's the only one in Isaac's group that doesn't look hideous.
that is like looks like a hot guy, and it's like, oh, okay. Well, Isaac just got a boyfriend somewhere in the along the way. That's fine. Maybe that's what the spinoff will be. Can I have just like the gay love story? So apparently, there's a spinoff that's coming later.
Mm-hmm.
That is all right. So they say it's not related to anything from like this season, which I.
So it's Simon.
The Isaac's
like it's it's a season of Simon, right? Like that's gonna be what the next Castlevania thing is. It's Simon or Richter, right? Like
right, that would be cool. We can't do Symphony of the Night, obviously.
No.
and well, I was gonna say we also
Bloodstained.
Do...
It's Bloodstained. The spinoff is Bloodstained.
Like God, that would be dope, though.
That'd
yeah,
be fucking rad.
That would be so sick. Anyways, we've lost the thread. Lost the thread. I was making stupid jokes.
But like, it's great, and I love just like. The resolution of that plot line is great. Carmilla's a super compelling character, even if she is being an idiot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love the part where Striga and Morana show up at the castle. They're like, Bail? Bail.
Bail. Just bail. Fuck this. Just,
Well, what about Lenore? She's probably dead. And then they just leave.
if Carmilla got owned that hard, then Lenore also got owned that hard. And in a way, Lenore did get owned that hard, just in a different way. Carmilla's whole fight kicks ass, though. Just queen.
Oh, God.
We still have to stand a little bit. I mean, she's stupid, but...
Oh, but like, Isaac
all
said...
I could think. All I could think that whole fight, though, was just me think literally in the back of my head the entire time was like, oh, Carmilla, you can't gaslight gatekeep girl boss way out of this one.
Isaac set up a boss arena.
Yeah, he did.
Like, with legit, like, invisible walls.
Yeah, just made Carmilla do a boss rush so that he could win at the end because she's too exhausted otherwise. I do think it's cool that, like, If he hadn't like worn her down that much, she probably would have kicked his ass. Which
oh,
I like.
Probably.
But I mean, like that's the difference between like Isaac and Carmilla. Is
yeah,
like, he fights smart. She just fights like a maniac.
With her really fucking cool curved red sword.
Yeah, her handle is fucking katana thing. I don't even know, but it looked awesome.
Looks dope.
Oh,
she's just
so
like.
Great.
Like, I am surprised, like, there wasn't dialogue that was like, you couldn't fight me without your monsters, and Isaac's like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, duh. Well, do you think I'm stupid? I'm not going to fight you without your my monsters. I'm a monster summoner, lady.
She's like, 1v1 me, coward, and he's like, no.
No.
That's
no.
Dumb. I want to win.
Yeah, who cares? I'm here to win and take your castle. Sorry.
The blood dripping down the stairs and enough monster blood to fill the floor. It's so cool.
It's sick.
Then they have a Naruto versus Sasuke fight. It's great.
Oh, and just, and in the end, she still gets the last laugh. So good for her. She gets to weaponize the fact that for some reason, sometimes vampires explode when you kill them. And yeah, it owns. Good for her. She tragically got owned, but what are you gonna do? That's what happens when you try to take over the world, and the person who's coming to stop you is the most reasonable person in Castlevania. You stand no chance against Isaac.
You were against Isaac. Your fate was sealed.
Unfortunately, as soon as Isaac shows, I love that he just kind of like rolls up too. He doesn't announce himself or anything. He just shows up and is like, "Well,
like literally everyone in the castle is like, what's happening out there?"
There's no announcement. No, like I've come to kill you, Carmilla. Not a damn thing. He rolls up and starts just blasting.
He doesn't even have any like. Pomp and circumstance for it on his own end. He's just like,
no,
alright, time to do it.
Let's go. No speeches, no nothing. I love it. It's so clean cut.
And then,
it's like, no. Because again, this is a man who's like, I'm here to win. Why would I announce myself being
here?
Why would I do that?
I bided my time, I got everyone I needed in place, and we're just going to Zerg rush you and win.
Yeah, it's fine. And we're not going to take any time to let you, like, rally? Nope, nothing.
No, no, that's a dumb idea.
It's stupid. Poor Hector is just like, what the fuck is going on?
Because, yeah, like, Isaac rolls up and Hector's like, all right, here we go, showtime. And Isaac's like, nah, bud, we're cool. I had some time.
Dudes rock. That's it. Isaac and Hector's whole thing is just dudes rock. Like,
he's just like, bud, I get it, but let's just not. Let's just be chill. It's like, but I want to apologize for Dracula. And he's like, nah, it's cool. You don't have to, man.
Hector's still like, well, I did sort of still help bring Dracula back. And Isaac's like,
well, you know what? That's happening somewhere else.
That's somebody else's problem, not ours.
Like, it's like, well, I did help this weird guy try to bring Dracula back. And Isaac's like, is he coming here? No. All right, then.
Don't care. Do not care. It's not my problem anymore.
Fruit?
Isaac, what would you have done if that Rebus thing had managed to get out of the castle? Probably owned it instantly, because, yeah, again, he's from a better show. That's a good point.
Were you also afraid, like, when Isaac and Hector were talking and Isaac is, like, cutting fruit, mm-hmm, he was just going to turn around and stab Hector in the throat, like, any second?
I was terrified of exactly that. I'm just like, yeah. I just, yeah, and I mean, Hector is the dumbest man alive, and so if it happened to him, I probably would have been like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that sounds about right, mm-hmm, yep. But I didn't want it, because, right, you know, he is the dumbest man alive, and so most of the time he just gets tricked into having bad things happen to him. He's just like a really dumb, like, dog.
Like Isaac even says that. He's like, Hector's like, I did all these bad things. And Isaac's like, nope, dude, you were tricked into doing bad things.
You were tricked into doing very many bad things.
Like, it's fine.
You are dumb. It's fine.
This isn't on you, man. You didn't have a choice in it. I'm not mad at you. I was for a while, but then I talked to a guy in a boat and a bug man, and now I'm fine.
I had a long, thoughtful conversation about what the future should be with a bug man, and I'm actually feeling great now. And Hector's just like, mm-hmm, yeah, that sounds about right.
Hector's like, that tracks. I have no questions about that. And then, meanwhile, Lenore's like, I do.
I would actually like an explanation about all of this, about what the fuck is going on. You know
that picture from, like, the Sonic Adventure fan dub where it's Eggman going, what are you two fucking talking about? That's just Lenore while, like, Hector and Isaac are having their conversation.
Yeah, that's perfect. Lenore is the most relatable character in this show by the end of it. She's just like, fuck this, I'm out.
She's just like, no one is telling me anything. I used to be in charge of this castle, and now this dude shows up, and suddenly, like, nothing is going my way anymore.
Nothing makes sense. Nothing is going my way. I don't know what's going on. I didn't know you could just cut your finger off like that to make it not work.
Yeah.
So now I feel really stupid.
Yeah, God, she must have been like, oh, wait, that worked?
It's that easy? Fuck.
Well, shit.
Shit. Oh, God, he could have broken out at any time. Oh, no.
She's like, God, I did not think any of this through.
Oh, and now Carmilla's dead.
She's really dead. She exploded.
She exploded super hard, too. And then that's it. I love it. We are so neatly done. Literally, we have this awesome, like, episode of fight shit and conversations. And it's like, well, we're done with Isaac and Hector now.
Yeah,
let's go
that
clean
plot
up the rest
line is,
of this plot.
See you in the epilogue.
Gotta go tidy up the rest of this clusterfuck leftover from season 3. Just going down a checklist of, like, trying to get things right.
And, like, let me just make sure I have everything I wanted out of this one. Yeah, I mean, speaking of, though, I'm really happy we got to see Fly's Eyes again. He is a great character.
He is a great, legitimately a great character. Like, and fantastic conversation between him and Isaac at the beginning. I loved it.
Yeah, it's great. I was, like, it's, you know, it it is like they knew that scene was one of the best in season mm-hmm. three.
So let's,
which
let's,
isn't hard, but
yeah, I know, right? But let's, you know, take that thread and go further and be like, well, why do you, like, the only reason you act the way you do is because of, like, my will, and so I am now telling you, you can see the world in another perspective. And it's like, yeah, that's such a good scene. Like, that whole conversation is just, it's literally, you know, everyone's cringe, let's go get you some fruit.
Yeah.
So it's fine. And then we're just done. We're done with Isaac.
Yeah, Isaac and Hector's story wraps up. Everyone in the castle is dead now.
It's cool.
It's over, and the ones that weren't in the castle just left.
Yeah, Striga and Mirana just, like, fucked off. They're like, you know what? No, we're good, actually.
I really appreciate the, like, the fullness, like, the full characterness of that conversation where they're like, mm-hmm. yeah, we could retake the castle, but right. do we actually really want to?
Yeah, do we want to expend those resources? We have no idea what we're going into. And if we do this, we know Carmilla is dead. If we do this, then we're going to have to, like, reorganize our whole lives again. Do we really want to go through with this? And the answer is no. You know what? We have a whole army all to ourselves. We can just go fuck off and probably show up in whatever spinoff show there is.
Just, I know it's physically impossible. Just, like, cut to Striga and Mirana, like, in Cancun. Like, under a giant umbrella.
Under a huge umbrella. Painting each other's nails and just chilling. Slurping on some margaritas. Like, oh man, this is a much better idea. It's way better than Syria. That place is fucking freezing.
Yeah, we didn't realize that place was fucking cold.
But they don't have any. I don't know if they have, like, blood flow. They're dead. They're vampires. Like, they gotta be cold all the time, right? Like, I would. If I was a vampire, I would be in a warm climate. They always put vampires in, like, really cold and dark places. But then I'm thinking, like, but vampires don't. They don't. Like I said, their blood doesn't flow. They're probably cold all of the time. I would be a vampire in the Caribbean, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
A beachside vampire. Just go out, you know.
Beach is still nice at night.
Yeah, they're great at night. Have a way better time there.
Yeah. There you go. But they're done.
Your notes. They're done.
They're done. So that's all I had from their side. I want to talk about Alucard's plot line and how, you know, he got to be like an isolated hermit for like a week. And then some town was like, hey, we got problems. Come fix our problems. And he's like, God damn it.
Fine. I'll come fix your stupid problems. I'll come be an actual, literally the most video game ass video game part of this show based off of a video game.
The thing I want to, there's a few things I want to bring up, like little details. Mm-hmm. One is I want to give mad props to Alucard's voice actor for the way he read the note from Dynasty.
Yeah.
His reading of that note was immaculate.
It's so good.
Just he's bored, but he adds that fake, like, lilting enthusiasm mm-hmm. to the end of certain sentences.
Yeah, yeah.
It's perfect.
His voice actor honestly is so good, and it's like, because he's doing such, like, a strange line read for, like, all of the lines, but, like, sells it super hard of being, like, sort of, it's really hard to take, like, a character who's kind of emotionally distant and quiet and put, like, a lot of pathos into those line reads, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Without making it sound like they're being overly emotional. That's really difficult, and Alucard's voice actor just fucking nails it every single time. I just love the weird tone his character has, where he never really raises his voice, but you always get, like, the urgency or the jokes.
Yeah.
It's great. It's great. I know that's, like, a strange thing, but, like, something about just the way he reads all of his lines, I vibe with it.
Like, we joke about, like, how everyone in Castlevania talks like this all the time.
I know, right?
But, like, for Alucard, it actually fits him really well.
No, yeah, it works perfectly well with this character. Yeah, 100%.
Like, everyone else should probably afford to speak up a few times, but, you know, Alucard, it works.
And,
Also, do you get it? Do you get it? Her name is Greta of Dynasty. Do you get it? She is the fourth character to join the team. Her name is Greta of Dynasty.
What?
She's Grant. She's Grant. Grant Dynasty.
Oh! You clever bastards! I didn't pick up on it! Look at you guys! Oh my god. That's adorable. Good for you, Castlevania. You snuck them in.
You made it into a hot lady
instead. Well done.
Which is probably a massive improvement if I've seen the concept art for Grant.
Yeah. Frankly, this is significantly better. We get like a cool hot lady. It's really remarkable because, like, you know, they did that thing that's usually really tiresome in TV and cartoons where it's a last minute love interest for the kid,
mm-hmm.
a pair of the spares,
yeah,
as the saying goes, where it's like, well, Alucard doesn't have a love interest. And we don't want to make it in like a less smart show. It's like Alucard doesn't have a love interest, and we don't want to make it seem like he's gay for Trevor. So quick, give him a love interest. And then they give him a love interest, but they still just let it seem like he's kind of in love with Trevor too. And it's like, oh, so this is just like a whole thing going on between all four of you now. I see. And it's great. There's actual chemistry between him and Greta. I was shocked that they managed to pull that off.
It's one of the things that, like, actually really impresses me about Castlevania is that they don't, like, fiddle around with, like, the relationships.
Right.
It's like, oh, Trevor and Sypha are just together.
They're just together.
They just are.
And, like, I don't know, it's... all of the... there's a lot of just chemistry kind of going on between everyone.
Yeah.
Just kind of in general. And I mean, it comes from really good character writing, which this show has, at least in the fourth season. And, you know, second season's carried over from that. There's just, like, good character writing and interactions and stuff that kind of sells you on the fact that you could realistically believe that a weirdo shut-in like Alucard could like somebody like Greta, could actually have any kind of interest in her. Like, they actually sell you on that super well, and they do like little cutesy things mirroring when Vlad met Lisa. Both of them do the little bow thing to, like, let them come further into the castle. It's like, oh, that's cute. You guys are doing a thing there.
Yeah, you're like tying it together.
Tepish men just like being bossed around, and I mean,
yeah,
cool.
I mean, same. I mean, like, sure. Understandable. Like,
yeah,
look
absolutely.
At that.
Everybody wants to be bossed around by a cute lady. Why not?
But it's like Melissa pointed out that, like, in the opening of the season where Trevor and Sypha, like, have that fight in the forest because, like, she's mad for him corrupting her.
Right.
And turning her into a person that says shit. Like, she was like, oh, that fight is just resolved now.
Yeah.
And they aren't doing the thing where it's like, oh, they broke up for the season. They're going to get back together at the end because we need relationship drama.
Right.
It's just like, oh, no, they fought and then they got over it.
Yeah, that's it. They just had, like, an argument, and then they got over it, like normal people do.
Wow, you can do that?
You can actually do that.
I don't believe you. You either need to make it ambiguous if they're together, or they need to be broken up.
That's it.
That's the only ways you can do it.
Nope. Castlevania says no. They're just together. And then we get Sypha having the great I'm trying to fucking talk here, which is one of my favorites. She's such a good character. Sypha's so great. We went off on our tangent about Isaac, and the whole reason the Isaac tangent got started was because I started to say that, like, Isaac and Sypha are the standout characters in this show. So here's the Sypha appreciation power hour. Because she's just great, too. She also is, like, from a different series entirely. But, like, she's just so... I don't know. It's such a nice way to do the kind of idealist character where, you know, she has, like, her kind of faith in community and caring about people challenged. But, and is still a little bit... kind of comes out of it a little bit harder and a little bit more realistic. Flash flood warning. Excuse me. You know, she comes out of it more realistic, but not necessarily more jaded, if that makes sense.
Yeah, she's definitely more, like, more grounded. Mature. About it.
Sure. Yeah, grounded's a good way to put it.
But... you know, it comes out in a way that still is beneficial to a community, you know?
Yeah, like, she still ultimately believes in the idea of, like, building a community and being with people, like, and helping people.
It's why she's so pissed off at Zamfir.
Right.
For, like, not doing all she can to help people.
Right, yeah. And then even then, she comes around on Zamfir because she understands, like, oh, this is also an extremely traumatized person.
Yeah.
Who was also just, like, abandoned by the people who should have been helping her to make all of this make sense, you know? And it's like, oh, okay, so Zamfir is not even... You know, she says, like, when they get to Targavishta, like, these people are not in the emotional place to be able to put their lives back together because they've what they've been through is such a horrific event. And then, like, you realize, like, oh, the same thing happened to Zamfir. Like,
yeah.
Like, she is also not in a place to be able to put her life back together. And Sypha doesn't realize that until they get down into the catacombs. And it's like, oh, okay, well, Zamfir is also, like, she's lost her mind.
Yeah, that also is part of it.
Yeah. And it's great. It's you understand that she gets this sense of just being like, well, no, like, what I want from the world is a difficult thing. Like, I'm realizing now that the thing I want from the world is a really hard thing to do, but that doesn't make it not worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's kind of what Sypha's whole character arc is, that it's like, I want to do this thing. I want to make the world a better place. And I want to, like, do community building stuff. I want a bit to be a hero. And then realizing, like, oh, that's all really hard because the world is cruel and people can suck and we're surrounded on all sides by monsters. It's a metaphor.
Do you get it?
Do you get it? And we're surrounded by all sides of, like, blood-sucking monsters and you know, people who have no regard for us. But that doesn't mean that the work is not still valuable. Like, that's her whole character. It's really good.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Like, it's... she even tries to try and back down from it at the very end. And, like, what I really like about the ending of Castlevania is that she agrees to stay before knowing Trevor is alive.
Yeah.
Like, she agrees to do this community building thing of her own volition, because she understands that, like, even if I am in mourning right now, I should still push past it to do something good because it will help me get over my grief, right?
Right.
Like, that's great. She doesn't do it because her man comes back. Her man comes back anyway.
That's just the nice bonus that she got out of it.
That's just a nice bonus. It's like she's rewarded by fate. But she's like, I'm going to do the right thing. And then, like, the universe is like, you have chosen correctly. And then they give her back her boyfriend.
And then, like, Trevor just, like, materializes next to her.
That was weird. I thought I was dead.
So, but, like, fuck, what was I about to say?
Oh, God.
Wait, quick question.
Yeah.
Did you think Trevor was really dead?
Not for a second.
Not
for... Okay, because here's how I knew. because the mere fact that all of my friends who are extremely like-minded people like me really liked the end of season 4.
Yeah.
And so, because of that, it was like, oh, Ben really liked the end of season 4.
Yeah.
Roddy really liked the end of season 4.
Like, if he had, like, actually died, I would have been like, it's good. Season 4 is really good. It's probably better. It's way better than season 3 was.
Sure.
But, you know, watch it and we'll talk about it for an episode.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it
then,
wouldn't be as, like, as enthusiastically, like, no, it's
yeah,
really good.
I wouldn't have been, like, it would have been, let's do season 4 because we did 1 through 3 already.
Right.
Now it's, let's do season 4 because season 4 is really fucking good.
Season 4 is really good. A good ending can carry so much of a show that is otherwise kind of losing you in parts.
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel that.
Future Diary.
Yeah.
The worst anime that I love because I love how it ends.
That ending just nails it, man.
And then the ending nails it. Knocks it out of the park.
But so for me, my journey was... first off, one, speaking of, oh, ha, Isaac has a stand, there's that bit where it's like, we're like, after Trevor stabs Death, did you also go, so this is spiral power, huh? Incredible.
I actually was thinking, the whole time I was watching that lead up to him stabbing Death, I'm thinking in the back of my head, I too saw the end of Babylonia. Castlevania anime staff.
That is also close, but like,
because when you watch the, eventually you will watch the Babylonia anime, and you will go, hey, wait a second.
but for me it was because like Isaac is Trevor. Fucking God,
there's too many fucking English names in this show. I know it sucks.
Trevor's like almost exactly in the exact same pose that Kitan was in. And he, like, it goes to, like, the sketchy black and white, like, effect.
That's true, yeah, and he gets blown away. It's yeah, like, oh, so, yeah, all right.
It's just like, so this is spiral power, huh? But no, so at first it was like, okay, Castlevania, I know he's not dead because Simon needs to exist.
Yeah, well, then they establish after...
Yeah, but that...
Like,
yeah, but
he's dead, but after he's dead, Sypha goes, well, I'm definitely pregnant, so it's
yeah,
like, oh,
and
okay, well.
So I'm like, oh, well, maybe he actually is dead. That's kind of surprising. But then there was also that shot of Saint-Germain, like, touching the thing.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no. Well, maybe, is he really dead? Like, that would be kind of weird, because, like, I mean, yeah, she can give birth to the next Belmont, but, like, he does kind of need to be there to train them, right? Like,
right.
And then, oh,
I mean,
of course, there he is.
I mean, you could rationalize it, though, because, like, the Belmont archives are literally right there
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like, oh, well, the archives are going to be right there, and is this going to be, like, literally a Phantom Blood to Battle Tendency thing?
Yeah.
Where, like, Jonathan dies at the end?
Yeah. No, it's fine. Shut up.
No, he's okay. He's just
alive.
There. He's not okay. He's there.
He's okay-ish. He's not dead. It's fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't need his arms. It's cool. Both of his arms are just so fucked now. It's actually really
it's
funny.
Great.
It's like, yeah, of course, that's exactly how you would end up, huh, buddy? But, like, no, it's a great ending. It's joy. It's a delight.
It's earned.
It's a Dark Souls boss. That's literally, again, the thing is that I was like, aw... So Striga is just the fucking Artorias, like that's our that's our fucking Dark Souls boss. And then, like, the show is like, no, psych, we actually have a giant skeleton wielding a scythe, and it's literally fucking death, and it looks metal as shit, and it's like a real Dark Souls boss.
By the way, one of the best things about that, and one of those, like, Castlevania knows what I like, baby, is that Varney isn't an act. Death just acts like that.
I love it. I love rude Cockney death. Are you kidding me?
It's the best to have a villain be like, I'll eat your soul, shit it out, and smother your girlfriend with it.
Yeah, no. I like any time that, like, the big metaphysical god concept thing is also just kind of a rude prick. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always funny to me. And I liked it. It's like, yeah, of course, death has been on, has been around, like, the spirit of death, not the actual, you know. And they do establish that a handful of times. It's like, no, he's not like he's not actually death. He's just basically like an ascended vampire. Mm-hmm. But like the death spirit thing, the Grim Reaper, has been around forever. So like, yeah, of course he acts like a rude asshole. Why wouldn't he?
And it is great because, like, at first the joke is like, I'm fucking Vonnie and I'm Dracula's top shit. And it's like,
pip pip cheerio.
The joke being like, he's a guy who shows up in season 4 and is like, don't they know who I am?
Right.
It's like, no, you were not in any of the earlier seasons, you dumb
who
fuck.
Who are you? Why are you wasting my time? Who is this character, Castlevania? And then Castlevania is like, hey, so you know how you were complaining about the fact that none of, like, the big Castlevania boss monsters are in our show? What if he was the final boss? And it's like, oh, fuck, I take it back.
That actually is probably, like, more logical than, you know, the progression going from the actual Grim Reaper to Dracula.
Yeah.
Like,
that makes way more sense, yeah.
Like, Dracula is cool, don't get me wrong, but, like, death is death.
Yeah, he's the Grim Reaper. Of course he'd probably be the final boss. That actually makes way more sense. It was cool. It's extremely cool, actually, to have just a huge... I mean, it's a boss fight.
It is. It's
a show based off a video game. Of course they end it on a giant boss fight.
Like, you get, like, both kinds of boss fights. Because, like, what is Isaac versus Carmilla, but Virgil 3.
Yeah, what are we always saying? The most sinister boss is a guy walking towards you slowly, right? And that is exactly what Carmilla is.
A guy as tall as you walking towards you slowly is the scariest boss you can ever have.
Yeah, exactly. So we got that with Isaac, and it owned.
Or you can have a boss where you can only attack his hands when he slams down on the ground.
And it's just a big monster, and you're fighting them on top of a tower.
You have to beat on his hands until he goes, "Aah!" and he falls forward, and you can punch his face a few times.
Yeah, that's when you use the cool, the super whip attack that Trevor uses at the end of the boss fight. Like,
yeah, when Trevor uses his super.
Yeah, he's been storing it up this whole time. It's like, if you think of that whole encounter in video game terms, you're just nodding along the whole time, like, yeah, absolutely, this is totally how it would go. Why would he waste his super? He doesn't have any health left, but he's still gonna hang on to that, because once he does finally get the opening, he's gotta use it or he's dead. Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. What are you talking about?
He does a parry at one point.
He literally does a Bloodborne parry. Yeah.
He presses guard right before the scythe swings down, and he parries the attack, and it leaves death wide open.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you kill Gascoigne. Like,
yeah. That's great.
They understand. The best Bloodborne anime ever made. It's the only Bloodborne anime we're ever gonna get.
And then to complete the video game thing, I wanted to save this for later, but since we're on this topic,
sure.
Trevor unlocks the good ending, the perfect ending, because he picks up all of the accessories.
It's literally what I was thinking. Like, when he explained it, it's like, oh, It's when you're playing... This is like a more grim example, but it's like when you're playing Silent Hill 2 and you just kind of pick up all the parts for the resurrection ending. It's that. It's literally every time in any video game where you just collect all the parts in the new game plus to get the perfect ending.
It's Prince of Persia Warrior Within, where you do you get all the health upgrades to get the water sword.
That's it.
That's what Trevor did. Is he went and he actually picked up all of the artifacts, the pieces to form the God Slayer sword. And because of that, he got to actually kill Death, and we got the good ending where he survives.
Yeah, if he hadn't done that, we would have just we got the perfect ending. If he hadn't done that, we would have just gotten the good ending where like he dies, but everybody else is fine. You're like, ah, that's kind of bittersweet. But instead, no, we got the perfect ending. Like, this is all... None of this is foreign. Of course it is here. It's a video game show.
This...
Right?
This is probably the most ideal I've seen something actually capture video game elements in media.
Yeah. Without it feeling like corny and ham-handed. Yeah.
Like, without it feeling like Ready Player One, you know?
Yeah, but it has all the... I mean, literally, Trevor picks up a fucking Castlevania cross weapon halfway through the show and then just spams the living shit out of it like you would in a Castlevania.
he goes through a thing where his sword breaks, so he gets an upgrade sword.
Yeah, and... It's not like finding like sub weapons in Castlevania, finding them in a wall, but he does just kind of find it in a pile of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's a video game thing, baby.
Like, this is the most video game the series has ever been.
They understand.
Like, there's literally a point where Isaac or Hector is like, yeah, Isaac, I set up a bunch of shortcuts on the map so you can warp straight to Carmilla's boss arena.
They get it. They understand it 100%. That's how this works. I love it. They even, like, so the cool fight with all the mini bosses before they actually go fight, you know, up in Alucard's old room. Trevor and Alucard do a cross slash.
They do. It's super cool.
And it looks really, really cool. It's the sickest thing.
They know how to actually make their video game show appealing to people who play video games extensively.
Yeah.
And can pick up on these things that are just like, how do you incorporate sub-bosses in your thing? It's just you put them in a cool arena, you pair everyone off, and they have cool designs.
They all have cool designs, and...
There's that one fucking Viking dude with the teleporting axes?
Yeah!
He's sick as shit!
And he's just a random... Like a mini boss, basically.
Yeah.
And it's such a cool fight. It's a little short fight, and it's extremely cool. There's a lot of really solid fight choreography.
Yes.
In the last three episodes, the fight choreography is insane. It is so tight, and there's none of the problem we had with Striga and the Day Armor, where like we didn't. It's kind of hard to follow the through line of the action.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that here. Like. Everything is so tightly constructed, and there's a lot of really cool and ambitious camera moves, just all kinds of really like awesome animated action because it's all really easy to follow, and it's one of my favorite parts like in the whole show is. When everybody, where it looks like everybody's kind of up against the wall, and what they do is they just swap who they're fighting, and immediately turn it around. That's one of my favorite tropes in the entire world. I just think it's coolest thing ever.
It's like, the best.
Without fail.
Like
to just switch who you're paired against, and that change up is enough to turn it around. Like it's cool. Sorry, it's just cool. It's raw. It's Kino.
You don't see it, like, often, but when it does show up, it's like, oh, this is great.
It's great, yeah. It's just, there's so much neat shit going on in the last couple of episodes, and it's not people standing around talking. As much as I love people standing around talking in season two, it's just a lot of really solid action. We don't need to establish who the fuck these characters are. Nobody cares. They're bloody bosses. They're here to die.
They have cool designs. That's all we need.
They have neat powers and cool designs. That's it.
Fucking, I just realized that speaking of video game stuff, there's literally a forest level in this series.
There's a forest level. Yeah, and now there's an escort mission while escorting some NPCs. Yeah. Yeah, I don't. go ahead.
I can just see the PS2 quality, like, third person action game.
Yes.
Where it's like, there's like a group of like NPCs huddled around, and you have to like lead them down this forest thing playing as Alucard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I can just see it perfectly, and like enemies keep popping up out of the trees and whatnot, and you have to go back and defend them, and
yeah. Like they totally get it. It's so funny to me how well they just grasp it. It's like, yeah, let's just string together a bunch of pretty competent to either competently made to extremely good action sequences and tie it all together with some good character writing and then call it a day. Like, easy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so we have all of, like, this, you know, they bring back all of the cool, like, transformation power stuff that Alucard can do. They bring back the dog form, which
yeah!
I was just, like, about 2 minutes before they do, I was sitting there watching it going, are they going to bring back Alucard's dog form? And then he did it. I'm like, yay! They read my mind!
Yay! He did the thing I wanted!
He did the thing I wanted, and I clapped. I don't care. The little detailing of kind of having his cape do like weird physics stuff.
Oh, his cape turned into wings, which is the coolest thing you can do if you have a cape.
Yeah, absolutely. You did it. You found a way.
Alucard and Meta Knight know what's good.
Yeah, it owns every time.
And Goliath, for that matter. But like, his is a little different because he just turns his wings like a cape.
Yeah, but it's fine. But, like, it still looks raw. It's
yeah. But, like, if you have, like, a real cape and it turns into wings, that's cool as shit.
Yeah. That's peak character design right
yes.
there. Thank you. And they just... There's just so much... It's... The last three episodes of this show are just so much fucking fun. Like, even when they're making me miserable, I'm like, yeah, there's still a lot of neat shit happening. Probably the saddest I've ever been watching this show, though, is boy, they do a good job of just with like a handful of shots representing the pure horror of your mom and dad are trapped inside of like a horrid zombie nightmare body.
Yeah,
that was
fucked.
It was fucked up, and I'm glad they ended that one quickly.
Yeah, they're like,
I was
nope.
Like, I'm sad.
they very quickly went, no, we're not doing that.
We're not actually doing that to these people. To, like, again, a fandom that is extremely, if you've been on Twitter or Tumblr at all, a fandom that is extremely attached to Vlad and Lisa Tepish. No, we're not going to keep torturing them in the afterlife. So we're gonna put a moratorium on this zombie nightmare boss real,
like,
fast.
Saint Germain was like, Alucard was like, Trevor, fix this right now.
I made a big mistake and I'm gonna get killed by a bunch of angry fans. Please do this, make this good again. And yeah, they saw it in half and it's like, oh, thank,
like,
God. Okay.
Once again, a character reveals their horrible plan, and someone else goes, what? You're gonna do what?
I respect, like, the amount, the degree to which it's like, Saint Germain is doing this? That guy?
Yeah.
Him? Like, that idiot?
There's that bit where Alucard is like, there's there's like some, there's some maniac up in my bedroom, and they're like, you mentioned something about a maniac? Yeah, he calls himself Saint Germain, and Trevor and Cypher are like, oh shit.
Oh no, what has he gotten himself into now? The answer is nothing good. Something extremely bad. You got played by death, idiot.
Doing this for a woman who has no name or voice.
But who did beat the living shit out of that one guy, and that was kind of cool.
Which, at first I'm like, are they really not going to give her, like, even a single line of dialogue?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, I get it. It's because she didn't actually care about him.
Oh, yeah, that tracks.
Like, she didn't get trapped in there. She went there.
Yeah, and just bailed on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was the poor simp left chasing after her.
Yeah, it's buddy. it's totally a one-sided thing.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, huh.
Because he's not after her, he's after the idea of her.
Right.
And you just go, oh. She still could have talked maybe once.
She probably could have talked once, but also, voice actors are expensive.
Yeah, and this cast is probably like, this is not your average stock of voice actors.
No, we have a lot of very expensive voice actors on this show, and like, I don't know, I don't necessarily mind her being like a silent character. I would have liked to have heard, like, for her to have gotten a name.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know, there is something kind of interesting in her just being silent. Maybe because like it's the contrast between the fact that like Saint Germain never shuts the fuck up.
Yeah.
So she's totally silent and using him that way. Maybe there's something interesting there. I don't know. All I know is that that's what no pussy does to a man. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's exactly it.
What no pussy does to a man.
We talked about season 3, how like Hector is a simp in season 3.
Yeah.
And that title gets like hard passed to Saint Germain in season 4.
He just comes in and just wrenches that Hector's actually doing pretty good. He's not simping after Lenore anymore. He's kind of chill with Lenore at this point. He's a little over her. But he still loves. It's interesting.
It's not really simping with you're together, you know?
Yeah. And they have such an interesting back and forth. I like all of their dialogue a lot.
Mm-hmm.
of just them kind of going back and forth, just messing with each other, and like, you know, it's like, didn't she like enslave you, bro?
Yeah. but it's like, as we've said, it's cool because she's not really using it.
She's just kind of like, again, we're just kind of ignoring all the really dumb parts of season 3, and it's like, yeah, that technically happened, but also no, it didn't. Don't worry about it, you know?
You know, if maybe once you actually, like, used it to, like, issue him a command he didn't want to do.
Yeah, but she doesn't. Like, even when it's like, we really could use that army, and he's like, I'm working on it.
Like,
she could go, I command you to do it, and he's like, nope, she doesn't do that.
Like, you know, he puts her in a cage, right?
Right.
She can just say, let me out of the cage.
Yeah, he's wearing, like, the magic ring up until he cuts his finger off. Like, she could just go, like, hey,
don't.
Magic ring says you have to open this cage and help me go protect Carmilla. And then
the simp ring would have activated. And he would have gone, yes, queen.
Oh, hey, but that's true, though, that, hey, Saint Germain did literally take the simp crown from Hector because he's wearing the simp ring at the end of the show.
He is!
Oh, God. Literally tearing open the door to the infinite corridor so he can go, is he bothering you, Queen?
Oh, God. That's literally how they met.
I know.
He almost said, "Is he bothering you, Queen?" And then she kicked that guy in the face, but it was fine.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Saint-Germain, you poor idiot.
You suck.
You suck. You just get owned by everyone constantly. The only reason anybody likes you is because you have a really good voice actor, which is fair.
He's funny, which is why like he gets any sort of attention, but then season 4 is like pushes it too far.
Yeah, what if he was, what if he was just like an asshole instead?
It's like what if he was like intentionally causing harm?
Yeah. He's funny, but like not in a funny way. He's just rude at that point, and you're like, "Oh, okay, never mind." Wow. At least Alucard has a new funny girlfriend.
Yeah.
And also his old funny girlfriend and boyfriend. I don't know.
Like they're all just there now. They
good
finally just get to be like together.
All in the same place. All in the same. Love that Alucard even at the very end is like, "I'm not admitting that I almost named my town Belmont." Not gonna cop to that one bit.
No, not at all.
That town did not actually end up because of the fact that like Trevor survived, that town ain't getting named Belmont anymore.
Nope, not anymore. He's like, nope. He's crossing that name off his list.
When I thought my boyfriend was dead, I was gonna name it Belmont. Not doing that anymore because he's right here and he's gonna call me a sucker.
He's like, Trevor's like, "What are you gonna name the town?" And he's like, "We haven't named it yet." And he like looks over his shoulder and there's like people chiseling the Belmont sign and he like makes the slashing noise motion across his throat.
No, stop it! Oh, God. Ben, what else is in your notes? The show's been so good.
Oh, God. Season 4 is so fucking good.
It's so good. It's shockingly good.
Here's something we didn't really talk about, which is that Zamfir shows up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's got, like, her crew with her.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, these are gonna be some characters, and then they die!
And then they all just get owned immediately, because like, because somebody was like, we have these cool character designs, but we don't have the budget to make any more characters important on the show.
We can't hire any more voice actors. We couldn't even get Sam Germain's girlfriend like a line of dialogue. They need to die.
They need to die. Like we don't have the money budget, but we also don't have the time budget to make these people into characters. Like we already had to cut two episodes that establish why Hector and Lenore are cool as fucking. So like, sorry, cool guys with cool designs, but you gotta go.
You do not make it. Sorry.
You don't get to make it. You're not that unique. So they get owned instantly. And Sypha has to deal with Zamfir. And local socialist has to deal with royalist news at 11.
That's true, though.
That's exactly it. Traveling socialist has to grin and bear it while talking to this fucking royalist.
Prince Philip makes a lovely cameo down in the cellar.
Down in the cellar, yeah, exactly. with his blushing bride. Oh god. Of course they were dead from like the beginning.
Of course. Well, it's like
you knew immediately, right?
It's one of those things where it's like, okay, they're gonna go down there, it's gonna be like 10 people in like a paradise.
Yeah.
And, they're going to have tons of food and everything, whatever.
Sure.
And then it's like, oh, okay, well, so they still have outsiders here, but we're going to go past the curtain and see, like, fucking Lamp of Luxury going mm-hmm. on. Then he's like, they're like, no, don't go back there. And then it's like, oh, they're dead.
There's nothing
back there.
I am actually surprised there was anybody living down there. Like, my initial thought was just like, oh, everybody, like the whole hidden court is just dead. And it's just like Zamfir and a couple of guards who have all lost their minds. So I was surprised that like anybody was alive down there at all. But I was definitely sure from the word go that like the king and queen or whoever the fuck were just dead. Like, no.
Mm-hmm. They were either assholes who were hoarding resources or they were
dead.
Sure.
Right. And because we are officially in no, we can't characterize any more people mode, they have to be dead.
We are full up on characters.
The time to establish any new asshole villains has long passed. We've got Varney and Rotko? Is that his name?
Yeah, Rotko.
He was cool.
He was pretty cool, yeah.
He was cool. I'm a fucking vampire. Like, he was cool. He got owned extremely fast, which is fine. Because it was just a setup. I do love... Because he does get got really quickly in that whole fight. Because he was talking so much shit to Varney, and it turns out, like, no, you don't know what a fucking vampire is, my mans. You have no idea.
You are shouting at a hurricane, my friend.
you don't know that those mountains in the distance are actually tsunamis, you poor bastard. But what else? Anything else to get off of our chest?
We gotta wrap this up. So speaking of the golden ending.
Yes! Oh god, yes. Okay, this is the perfect way to end this.
So
okay.
When I saw that, they're like, mm-hmm. It's person walking up into a thing, you know, after the ending, after the credits, that it's a person walking up to a tavern. I'm like,
right.
Ooh, here comes Simon. It's gonna be Simon.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, all right, setting up for the next season, we're going to see Simon. He's going to pull off a cloak and it'll be Simon fucking Belmont.
It's going to be the best.
And then it was even better.
It was even better. They couldn't have possibly made it. So, like, again, we are in tiers of golden ending at this point, right? So we're at the point, we end the show and it's like, okay, Sypha's having a baby. She decides she's going to stay with Alucard and Greta. If we had ended it there, great ending, right?
Like, yeah.
Even if Trevor had stayed dead, it's like, well, we've got what Alucard has always needed. He's got, like, a family and community. Sypha has people who will love her and help her raise this baby. Trevor went out on his terms being a fucking hero, despite the fact that, like, he doesn't, like, you know, his beginning character thing is that he doesn't believe in heroes and self-sacrifice. So, like, you know, you think, cool, he goes out like that, and that would suck because I don't like sacrificial endings, but, like, you get it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole arc. It makes sense. He tells his girlfriend he loves her, he dies, she has his baby, and she has, it's not, like, a bleak thing because she's surrounded by love and community. Cool.
Yeah.
Great ending.
We know by logic of the game series that, like, the line will continue, blah, blah, blah,
sure.
It'll be
good. She says she's pregnant. Great. Fantastic. Would have been, if it ended there, roll credits, I'm happy. Trevor comes back. Great. Even better.
Fuck it, yeah.
Did
fuck
it.
It. Grand
ten
slam.
10 out of
yes.
10. You,
perfect.
You did it. You video gamed your way. You kept your, you did the video game shit. You kept your main character alive. He gets to live. He gets to live with his boyfriend and his girlfriend and his boyfriend's girlfriend. and they're all gonna live happily ever after and raise this fucking baby in this new town. So we've done it. We've got love. We've got family. We've got community. Fantastic. You did it. A+, S rank. Roll credits. Totally happy. And then it keeps going.
It keeps, okay, okay. So what it, what this is Trevor unlocked the perfect ending.
Sure.
By finding all the artifacts, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the hidden treasures, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Isaac who unlocked the golden ending.
Yes.
Because Isaac built up enough bonus points to unlock the conversation path to convince
right.
Hector to give up on resurrecting Dracula.
That's it. There you go. So then the show ends and, like, I don't care.
I
don't care how it happened.
I don't
care if it's an ass pull. I don't care if it cheapens anything. I do not care.
Fuck it.
One of history's greatest wrongs is that they did a really good job of establishing that Vlad and Lisa Tepish were, like, in love and were, like, an amazing couple. And then they killed her in the worst way possible. And, like, for years, sometimes I'd lay awake at night like, man, they really did Lisa Depesh dirty, didn't they? No, they fixed it. They fixed the worst possible outcome. They did it.
They had built up enough goodwill with the audience to pull that off.
They pulled it off, especially because, like, you have the whole thing with them, like, getting stuck in the nightmare body, and it's like, oh, are you really... Look, you really brought them back from the dead just to torture them a little bit more?
If season four had been bad, I would not have accepted this.
No, absolutely not.
But because 100%. Season four was really, really good, I'm fine with it.
Totally cool with it. It's fine. Mom and Dad are gonna... They're gonna travel for a while, let Adrian kind of, like, take a break from any more emotional agony.
Family problems?
And eventually maybe they'll roll back up in, like, 10 years and be like, hey, we went to Japan. How's it going? We brought souvenirs.
Hey, Adrian, why is there a fucking town here? What happened?
What do you mean you're helping raise a Belmont baby? Okay.
Hey,
Liz is immediately like, this
Trevor?
Is my new grandson. Sure.
Hey, Trevor. How's the family?
Oh, it's amazing. They just... You know what? It's fine. I don't care. I don't care.
I don't it's fine. Care. It's totally fine. Lisa has that great line where she's like, we got to work on your people skills because I can't go around introducing you as Vlad. Don't worry, not that one.
There's a great... Somebody on Tumblr pointed it out, but like, my man's Vlad Dracula Tepesh. Cut the nails on two of his fingers on his hand. That's a good husband right there. Like, that's a good man, and he's back from the dead because he loves his wife. You know what? The strength of him being that potent of a wife guy brought them both back from the dead. You know what? It's fine.
It's totally fine. They're like, how did this happen? Who cares?
Who gives a shit? Nobody cares. I don't care. I hope they never explain it. All right? Don't ever explain it.
My wonder is, though, like, if they do, like, a Next Generation season...
Who's going to be the bad guy?
What do they do? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, eventually Lisa is going to die of old age, right? Like, sure. That's just how things work. But is it going to be like... But, like, if she dies peacefully of old age, he's not going to, like, go out and enact vengeance ever.
No.
Like, what do you do if, like, the next season is about Simon? Like...
Who's the bad guy? I don't know. Maybe instead of everybody trying to bring back Dracula, they try and bring back Carmilla instead. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I know Carmilla is a recurring villain in the Castlevania games.
Sure.
So, like, I don't know. Maybe they do that. Maybe they move on to Frankenstein, finally.
What you do... is you just have Simon and Dracula fighting things together.
Or maybe, like, you still fight Dracula, but it's because, like, Simon has personal beef with him.
Yeah, that's it. It's all just a misunderstanding, and then at the end of it, it's fine.
It's like, you know, Dracula was riding in his cart, like, on the way to the shops, and he ran over Simon's foot.
And now I'll swear revenge against...
Simon is like, hey, dickhead, you broke my toes.
I'm going to beat your ass.
I'm going to tear your fucking castle apart.
You can flip it upside down. It's fine. I don't know how they'll do it. Maybe they'll skip all the way to, like, Aria of Sorrow and Soma Cruz.
Ooh, oh, dude.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Can you imagine... If they just jump to modern era.
I know, it'd be insane. I think everybody would probably lose their mind, and not in a good way, but I would be on board for it.
I would love it. I think that would be amazing. Oh, totally.
Yeah, absolutely. Just skip right to... Because everybody knows the twist about Soma, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. By now, everyone knows.
Okay, everybody knows the twist about Soma. We just skip to the guy being a reincarnation of Dracula. Yeah.
Yeah, do it. Do it.
Do it. Do it. That would be awesome.
God, I gotta fucking play Aria Sorrow.
I know.
I gotta play so many Castlevanias. I own Symphony of the Night. I haven't had time to play it, though.
Because there's, you know, there's other video games to play. I gotta play more of Resident Evil 8. I just bought 3 Transformers video games.
Ratchet is next week. What am I fucking gonna do?
I still haven't played Nier, and I haven't had...
Intergrade is next week!
Intergrade is next week, which is a huge problem.
Yeah.
I still haven't had a chance to play the Mass Effect re-releases. Like, what am I gonna do? This is too many video games. How did this happen? I thought this was gonna be a quiet year.
I know, right?
What the fuck?
Oh, God, Castlevania fucking season 4, absolutely brilliant.
Knocked it out of the fucking park. It is, it's not like, it's not like extremely nuanced writing, but it's just like good, solid writing that did everything I wanted it to do. You know what I mean?
There's like, there's just a quality to the dialogue and the actions and that goes into it.
Yeah.
It's just refreshing after season 3.
Yeah, all the characters, you know? Like you've been saying, all the characters have agency. They make their own decisions. They have like a strength of purpose in their character and a desire to like move like the world and the plot and themselves forward in a proactive way.
There's no meandering.
Yeah, you just feel like it's pretty concise. Sometimes slightly to its detriment, but like. Overall, it's super smart. It does basically everything I wanted it to do in the last handful of episodes, especially. Everybody kind of ends up exactly where I wanted them to be. Like, sorry, Lenore, I love you, but...
But, and even that, I was like, at the time, I'm like, I wish that hadn't happened, but, like, afterward, I'm like, no, that makes sense.
Yeah,
like, the more
sense.
You think about it.
There's, for her, there's, like, no place in this world for, like, in this brave new world where, like, you know, the vampires are quickly losing, like, all their footing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no place for her in this world, and she, I don't think, like, her and Hector are not, like a great love story. It's more like they were two people who ultimately... You know, season 3 notwithstanding, kind of just enjoyed their time together and then parted with a weird kind of mutual understanding of one another.
He's gonna be fine without her.
Yeah, it's not like the great love of his life is past or anything like that. And she just doesn't want to, you know, she's a vampire in a world that's, like I said, kind of losing space for vampires. So no, she doesn't necessarily want to be in it either. And yeah, so you get, it's just, it's a perfectly fine resolution between the two of them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, everybody kind of ends up where I wanted them to end up. All the, you know, it's literally like what Alucard says at the end of, like, everything. Weirdly happy.
Yeah.
Weirdly happy, but, like, in a good way.
It was just, it's so cathartic.
Yeah.
After all 3 seasons and then this one to get what they deserve.
Absolutely. They, you know, you want it to end after this much hard work and like pain and suffering. You want it to end in a way where everybody is in a decent place. Like, these are all characters who deserve like a better ending than what they kind of seemed like they were going toward at the end of season 3. Like,
yeah, you know,
everybody who makes it out alive are people who kind of deserve a second chance to not like ruin their lives after having a bunch of awful stuff happen to them over the course of, you know, however many years. Like, all of these characters from, you know, Hector, Isaac, you know, Trevor, Sypha, and Alucard, like, they all kind of have had really rough lives and they all end up in a way better place than where they started. And it's an earned better place. Like, they put in the work. They went through the character development willfully. Like, they were to some degree dragged along, but ultimately they do what they do as, like, it's their own choice to do it. to do the mm-hmm. right thing and try to, like, make amends or try to live better and be happier. Like, and they're rewarded for it. That's what you fucking want.
Yeah. That's how you write a good story with a satisfying conclusion, is make sure everyone is where they deserve to be after whatever they struggled through.
It's great. That's all I ask.
Yeah. You can make your thing dark, but it has to be worth it at the end.
Right, exactly. That's literally why everybody was so cheesed off at the end of Game of Thrones. We went through all this suffering, and for what? Like, what ultimately was the point of all of this misery? And to this day, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you what fucking D&D's worldview is. It's because it's so miserable and bleak. But, like, I get the worldview of Castlevania. Like, I get mm-hmm. it. It's like, you know, you... Like I said, the monsters are a metaphor.
Yeah.
Life is hard, and you're surrounded on all sides by monsters, and the only way you're going to come out of it is with, like, you know, love and family and community. And the willfulness to actually stand up and go, no, I want to live my life. Like, that's literally Isaac's whole thing. He goes, like, no, I've decided I want to live. And I was like, yeah, that's good. It's a good way to end your story.
Yeah. I do want to say, I do like Isaac... As a side note, just being like, when Isaac leaves Hector alive, Hector's like, I don't know, I didn't think I'd get this far.
Yeah, it's great. My dreams of playing the organ are crushed. Did you play the organ? No, but I might have wanted to.
Like, oh shit, now I gotta survive. I didn't plan for that.
Shit, I didn't think I was gonna make it this far. You mean I actually have to live now? Alright, fine. Yeah. Castlevania. It's good.
Castlevania Season 4. Very good. What if Castlevania was a good show?
What if they didn't trick us and it actually turned out that Castlevania was... That's the thing. I, like, came away from Season 3 thinking, like, was I tricked? Is Castlevania actually bad and I just didn't notice it? And then I come away from Season 4 going, no, it's good. I was right. Pretty good.
I am excited to see where they go with this next. You know, I think we are probably done with this era. I think Simon or Richter are the next logical steps, but sure. I don't know, who knows? Castlevania has a very rich history and they could just say, fuck it, we're gonna do our own thing.
Do the Devil May Cry anime now, you sons of bitches.
No, it'll never happen. There was no Devil May Cry anime. We made it up.
God damn it.
Please enjoy this anime based on the Sly Cooper franchise. That's right, we're bringing it back.
Most cursed ass series in the universe. It's fine. Okay.
All right.
We good?
Yeah, I think so. You got anything else?
No, that's it. I'm surprisingly satisfied.
Yeah, very good. So yeah, thank you to Broke Free for your support on music. You can follow me on Twitter at The Gorge Podcast. You can follow Sarah at Radio Inactivity. You can email us at thegorgepodcast@gmail.com. And just as a heads up, next week is Video Game Christmas. We will be streaming a bunch of stuff starting on the 12th. So look forward to that. There will not be an indie week this month because we will be streaming a bunch of E3 content instead.
Right, so it's a trade-off. Yeah. Instead of us recording another episode, you just get a lot of streams, so that's cool.
And if you want to listen to Sarah talk about things that aren't Castlevania, but, like, probably do have vampires in them at some point, you can listen to her other podcast.
Actually, the first game in the entire series features a vampire, because I played one. Hey, I'm in another podcast called Big Gay Nerds, where me and a bunch of cool queer friends get together and we play tabletop games. We try out a lot of different systems. It's always a lot of fun. Like I said, hey, if you like vampires, go listen to our first game ever, Monster Hearts, wherein I did play a vampire, and it was pretty good. You can find us at Big Gay Nerds on SoundCloud, and you can find the links to the rest of our social media from there. Thanks!
All right, that'll do it for us. Who do you got? There's someone in here, but I don't know which one to pick.
Oh, man. No, I got it. Instead of a specific character, fuck sad endings. Like, what's up? Like, fuck these bleak endings. We did it. We climbed this whole stupid mountain, and we got the best possible outcome I could have ever hoped, better than I could have ever hoped for. I am still like walking on sunshine, knowing that Vlad and Lisa Depesh are fine. Like, yeah, baby, you did not have to do that one.
That one was like Trevor being alive was a bonus. Vlad and Lisa being alive is like a super bonus.
It's like you did it. I didn't even think I wanted that. Because I was like, you know what? They're dead. They get freed from their horrible nightmare body situation. And they're back to being dead. And you know what? They're together in death. That's cool. I'm fine with that. That's fine.
Yeah, it's good.
I didn't even think I wanted that. And then they showed it. And I was like, never mind. I need it. You did it. You gave me things I didn't even know I wanted. So, yeah. Fuck unhappy endings.
Yeah. Fuck that. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.